Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Words with Team Radio, and I'm your host, Red Snapper. This is Word Sexy Radio, and here we are on this Monday, the 4th month, 29th day of 2013, and we got a fantastic show for you this evening. We're going to be throwing down, as we always do, and we're going to make this thing happen. So sit back and relax as we bring you Word Sexy Radio.
Just to be wasting time, disappointment is something that's so familiar. You get them hopes up high to watch them fall again. So you start trying to find the one in the million, and the language of your love ain't nobody comprehends.
He's got news for you this evening, and we got news for you too on the show. As we're going to be doing our thing this evening, we got Tricia Armstrong, we got Marie Antoinette coming on, and we got a whole bunch of things going to be happening this evening on the show. So sit back as we bring you Word Sexy Radio. And the chat room is available as well. Anybody want to call in? The number is 347-215-8539. This is Word Sexy Radio. Welcome to Word Sexy Radio, and we're going to be bringing it to you like we always do every Monday at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. We do our thing every time, and we have fun with it. And we got our guest on the line. I'm going to get her on here in just a second. But before we do that, you know, I got to make sure that there's no difficulties going on, because sometimes there's slowdowns on the memory and all that stuff on the computer. So we're trying to get that straight. And then we're going to bring her in so we can talk with her. Then that's what we're going to do. So, but we're glad that you're calling in. And anybody who's interested that wants to get on the chat room is available as well. You can go there. And you can also come on the number. It's 347-215-8539. And while I'm trying to get her on here with these difficulties going on, I don't know why we have that problem sometimes, but we do. And that's part of radio and working with all kinds of stuff. You know that happens. So we're going to make sure we get that straight and get her in. And I'm still waiting on Antoinette as well, Marie. She should be coming on as well. But while we're waiting, we're going to go ahead and see what we can do about getting Drica on the line here. Because she's here. I just got to get her on. If I can just hold on just a second, Drica, we're going to get you. So this has been pretty good this weekend. Let me see if we can try to get her. I'm trying to put her in right now. I see her in the queue. And I don't know why this thing does this with memory. But we're going to get it straight here. Just a little bit of patience and we'll do it. But we've been doing our thing here in Kansas City. It's been warming up and we're glad about that. And, you know, hopefully the snow is gone. I'm not going to try to jinx it by saying anything about it, but let me see if I can. Still trying to get my guest here, Mike, to come on. So I hear you out there. So don't hang up. We're gonna get you on. So I can just get this thing. Just hold on, just a second. Yeah, we're gonna keep it going. So while we're waiting to do that, I just want to give you a little bit of admin as we're going forth here. I'm waiting on DV as well to come on. He should be coming on in a few seconds as well. And hopefully Cotton will be here. And we'll go ahead and get that thing driving. It's driving like it should be. So let me see. I do want to apologize for having this delay. We're going to reboot and get everything going. And just don't hang up. We're going to have everything set in just a second. But you know how it is with electronics and communication and all that stuff. So hopefully right now we're going to have it on in just a second. I see we do, and here we go. Drica, how you doing? I'm sorry to hold you up like that.
It's okay. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine. And we also have a 609 number. Let me see if this is Marie. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
Yes, this is Marie Antoinette calling from Jersey.
Hey, 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 how are you? So we got Jersey girls going on tonight. Say hi to Drica Armstrong. She's here as well.
Hi, Drica. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine. How are you?
Do y'all know each other? Are y'all in the same neighborhood or what?
No? Well, New Jersey may be small on a map, but it's not that small that everybody know everybody. What part of Jersey are you from?
I'm from Trenton.
Oh, I'm from Elizabeth. I'm by North Airport.
I love how y'all be talking Trenton and all that. I love that shit. That shit is I just love it.
You know you're from Jersey when you pronounce Trenton as Trenton. People out of Jersey say Trenton. They pronounce the T.
Yeah.
We just go Trenton.
Yeah,
I hear you, baby. I hear you. That's right. So how y'all doing this evening? Are y'all doing okay? I'm glad to have you both. And what I'm going to do is go back and forth. I'm going to get Marie. Because I've been trying to get Marie on the show forever. Drica's like a family member. She's been on here all the time. So we got you. We ain't treating you negative, but we're gonna let you get yours in, too. But I want to go ahead and get Marie real quick because I've been trying to get her on the show. I don't know. It's been a while. And I'm glad to finally get you. So how you doing?
I'm well. And I know you have been trying to get me on the show. It's been a couple of years. But I am.
Hell yeah. And we can cuss on this show. So you know that, right? We talk shit on here, right?
Yeah,
you know
yeah. I've heard some
okay.
That's
okay.
Good. But I'm a mother of a 2-year old. I'm
okay,
now
so
a mother of a 2-year old.
So
a couple
let me
years
ask you,
ago, I was. Go ahead.
No, is a 2-year old listening?
Yeah, he's laying right here next
to
me.
Damn.
With his cup of milk. But I got my earphones in. Oh, no, he can't hear our conversation. He can just hear
me. Okay, good. Okay, all right then. Well, you can't say shit then. You just gotta talk normal. You can't say nothing like that. That's okay though.
You should have what's normal around here is probably
A lot of people are scared to come on Word Sexy because I guess I don't hold nothing back. I don't try to dog nobody, but you know, I want you to come clean and correct with what you got. So I know you got a new book out, and what number of book is this one?
This is actually number 4, Signs of Endurance. Oh. It's number 4.
All right. So tell us about it.
Well, Signs of Endurance is a fictional piece based on true life events. It's, you know, a lot of people in urban communities, we walk around and everything's all good. You know what I'm saying? It's good.
Right.
It's all good. What's good? The kids good, the family good, everything is good. And I love that about us because we take the shots in stride. You're not going to see us down, even when we are down, you don't see us down. Like, we can see, I know crackheads and people out in the street that inspire me with some of the shit they walk up to me and say, and I'm just like, damn, and he crazy as hell, and he can figure that one out. So why
damn,
don't
a crackhead.
Right, I mean, it just, yeah, I mean, like, you see them out, they're the ones that always come up and ask for money, can you get me this, can you get me that? Sometimes you get frustrated, but then they still once in a while can come by and shoot you some jewels that you like, ain't nothing wrong with them. They
You know what gets me with crackheads and stuff? A lot of times it is nothing wrong with them. They just cut down on their luck and they just happen to be on that drug and it took them down. But, you know, they are some innovative people. Some of the damn hustles and shit they come up with, I don't see why they don't just take that and run with it and get out the street. But they use that shit to stay out there. It's like they like being dirty and shit.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Exactly. So that's kind of how I came up with the concept of Signs of Endurance. It's like those of us who differ from them are only, in my opinion, we only a hair strand away from being them from time to time.
Mm-hmm. Actually, we're a paycheck away.
Maybe
we lose
not
one
to
paycheck.
That's what I mean. A paycheck. We're a paycheck away from being just like that because it was something simple just like that that just pushed them over and they was like, you know what? Fuck that. I'd rather just live off the rest of you motherfuckers because this is too damn much. So that's what Signs of Endurance is based on. It's based on.
I know that's right. And I love your ass because you just like me. You talk shit. I love it. DB, what's up, baby? I know you're on the line right now. Come on, what's up with you?
Yeah, it's me, man.
Man, we missed you last week. We missed you, boy.
Yeah,
I was on the line. You had me on the line with 12 women. They was fucking my ass up last week talking about motherhood diaries and shit.
Man, I wasn't in the country, so, you know, I apologize for that one.
No, you ain't got to apologize. Hey, we have other jobs besides writing. A lot of people don't understand that authors do have other jobs, some of them. And I don't care how – there's a lot of mainstream authors out there that are working other jobs as well because, you know, you make money, but it's just not – you're not like Eric, Jerome, Dickie, and a few. Some of them don't have to work, but some of them do. And we're just some ones that do. So that doesn't mean we ain't shit. But say, go ahead.
When they're out of the country, they call it research when they vacation it. You know,
right.
When I'm out the country, you know, somebody breathing down my neck, you know, for, you know, like a paycheck. You know what I'm saying? So
absolutely.
Different circumstances.
Yeah, I hear you. But look, I want you to say hi to Marie Antoinette and Dreka Armstrong. They're both on the show right now.
Hey, good evening, ladies.
Hey.
Hello, how are you?
And this is the infamous DB Hint, the sexy sounding, talking ass motherfucker that's on that's from Kent, you know, down there in Texas. Now, DB, you know I'm gonna be down there in July, man. I'm coming to Dallas for 2 weeks. Now, there's no way I'm not gonna see you during that time frame.
Man, what?
I'm gonna be down there,
July,
man. And right after the 4th. I got 2 weeks. I got to do some training for the job, my day job. So I'm going to be down there.
I'm glad you let me know this. I'm going to have to squeeze some time because, like, July, everybody getting married. You know what I'm saying? So.
Oh, damn. Like, you ain't, are you?
Right.
You ain't.
Man,
are you getting, your ass ain't getting married,
are you? That's not happening right now.
I hope not. Anyway. But getting back to Maria, we got to get back to her because I know she's a busy woman and she's got 4 books out and she was telling us about this book about the crackheads and shit, which I want a copy of. So I'm definitely going to have to get that.
I sent you a copy.
You
in the
did.
Mail. I sent you.
You did.
Yes,
you sent me an electronic copy. I want a real one with your signature.
Oh, no,
not
I got the I got the electronic copy. I never got a hard copy, but you know, that's okay. Remember I told you because the time was short. I was like, go ahead and send me the electronic copy.
Right, and then after that, I sent one. So check your PO. I sent it to you. I sent it to the PO box.
Oh damn! Okay.
You put me on the spot. I ain't got no damn PO box.
You sure it was me?
Because I went back and checked the
details. Hey, man, somebody, you said that shit. I don't know. Okay, all right. We're going to find the book. That ain't a problem. Okay.
You know what? If it didn't get here, I'll send another one out tomorrow. It's not even a problem. Because I want you to have a copy of the book in here.
Yeah, because I want to see the real address and shit. Now, everybody don't get my address, so that's some confidential shit. But I'm going to send it to you.
I understand. That's why I use the PO box.
No, that's okay. That's all right. We're going to get it squared away. But what else you have? They after me and shit. But anyway, some of them damn crackheads you wrote about and shit, the motherfuckers probably after me and shit. Okay, well, I believe you. But anyway, check this out. Now, have you been, I know you just had a baby, so you got a 2-year-old. Now, have you had any chances to get out and do any touring anything since the baby, or have you kind of like slowed down on that?
I absolutely had to slow down after the baby. Honestly, since the baby, I've done one signing, but the absence makes the heart grow fonder because I had a magnificent turnout. Like, I was like, wow, people hadn't seen me. I mean, people came from the surrounding areas, so they showed me a lot of love. But since my third son has been here, I've been concentrating on revising books. And then
damn, you don't look like you got 3 kids.
I have my oldest two will be 20 and 12 next month.
What? You got some old kids 20, and shit? Damn, okay.
20 and 12. And then my baby, he won't be 3 until August. So, yeah.
Man, talk about gaps.
Damn. She got the losing. Well, we shouldn't have them stair-stepping and shit like they used to be by all the growing up. Like, seemed like my mama didn't plan that shit. They wanted the kid to have somebody to play with. So they had one, and then 10 months later, they have another one. And 10 months later, they have two that worked out to grow together. I mean, they just did it like that. I don't know, but, you know, we're trying to do that.
You need to read my first book, then, and it explains to you how come my children are so far apart.
Okay, we'll have to get that then. We got to find out. Now, I'm going to get all damn in your business now. And you ain't got to answer this if you don't want to.
I know.
All the kids is one daddy off.
15,000.
Nope.
Nope.
15,000. Wow. Yeah. Like, either you be faithful or you fucking around.
No, I'm not even ashamed of my 3 sons' fathers, and I'm not ashamed of my 3 sons. I had them in 3 different decades. I love all 3 of the men with all of my heart. It didn't work out.
And all the 6 was good and shit, wasn't it?
It damn sure was good, and the third one still is good. So it's all good. I told you that in the beginning. It's all good. It's all good.
Okay, so.
You know,
go ahead. Are you doing any writing right now, though? Are you doing anything else?
I'm working on the revisions. Not even the revisions. I'm just going through the last stages of the revisions for the struggle, which is actually it's an awareness piece for urban America that speaks about the incarceration rate, the dropout rate, the fact that black men are used as a commodity to sustain.
See, this is that military side. This is that Black Panther side that she got. That's why I wanted her on the show because, you know, she's one of them. She wanted them fight the power motherfuckers and shit. You know,
I love my people. That's how come when you ask me, what did I have 15 baby daddies and but I love my people. I love my people. I love us.
I love my people too. It ain't no problem. You know what I'm saying? It's okay.
Those sound effects are killing me for real.
I know.
I'm working on the revisions of the struggle. I'm working with another author, Delore Rickwall. He should be coming out. We should be publishing his book, Lost, Living on Street Terms.
And this is your company, right? This is your publishing company, right?
Yes, called Elevation Publishing. Yes. So I'm working with a few authors. I'm about to do a contract with someone. It's her life story, but it's also about her son. She just recently lost her son to a battle with sarcoma cancer. So she wants to get that out. So I'm cool with not really being in the public eye because what I'm doing, this is what I wanted. Let me say this. I see a lot of authors get their hustle on one book at a time. But I was a hustler before I was the author, you feel me? So I'm all about my ROI. If it ain't coming back, if I'm putting in three and I ain't getting back six, it don't make sense. I'm not going to spend $300 for a table someplace just to compete with 50 other authors when the average person is only coming out with $25, $30 a cent. I'd rather sit behind my desk and build up my catalog so when I finally do be able to get out there and do the tours like everyone else is doing, my son being five, a little bit older, I got a book for every genre because your money's not going past.
So you signing any erotic fiction authors and shit?
Am I signing any what?
Erotic
fiction
authors.
Where's the sound effects?
Hey, you want it, I'll give it to you. You know, sound, you know, it's like, you know, that's what we do.
There it goes.
Yeah, see, I'm saying, you signing all types of genres. You know, hey, I'm open. I'm a hustler. I'll write for anybody. Myself,
yeah, I'm not going to turn anybody away because I feel even the grimiest come-up story is still a come-up story.
Yeah, it's still a come-up story.
So, you know,
well,
I don't want...
Well,
we're
getting ready to hear a story. I'm going to tell you, we got a story that's getting ready to come up. Drinker has been through some shit. That's why I don't know why you don't know her and shit. Because seems like every time she comes on the show, somebody done fucked her up and shit.
No, I
love your ass. That's why I'm saying this because it be, you know, people be trying to do you. I don't know, you just got that face that they just want to try to get do you in, but you always prevail. That's the reason why I want you to hear a story. But she ain't gonna talk about that tonight. I don't think we're gonna talk about some positive stuff. But, you know, I mean, we just want you to come on and let us know what you got going on right now. And then if you bring up some of those villains that's out there that's getting over, we'll talk about that as well. But anyway, go ahead.
Who, me? Oh, okay, Drake.
Yeah, you.
Drake didn't have a drink, so you may get a whole other drink.
I forgot to tell you, Maria, you know, you have a little drink or whatever, a little smoke or whatever while we on the show. It's okay.
Oh, I do. Thank you.
Okay, good. Okay. I like that shit. She already ready and shit. Okay, go ahead.
Well, you know, I just released my new book, Trust No One, which I'm actually online checking my sales, and it's doing wonderful, so I'm happy about that. Besides being scammed for most of my career, you know, it does take a learning process. But, you know, once again, I got one of them weird stories. My book release party for this book, Trust No One, was the worst experience of my life. I'd never want to go through it again.
No. Do tell.
Well,
tell us what happened.
I found a location that a couple of my author friends have used in the past. So when I asked to have my event there, they were like, no problem at all. You know, as long as you bring in enough people, you're good to go. So that was all good and dandy. My event was from 5 to 9, so I was getting all excited, got my hair all fried, dyed, and laid to the side. You know. I'm about 5 minutes to the time it's supposed to start. I'm calling my DJ like, dude, shouldn't you be setting up right now? Now, Marie, you'll know this better than Red and them would, so you'll understand it a little better. We may have to explain it to him. This dude is in Philadelphia.
What?
The dude, my DJ is from Philly.
Oh,
so
he wasn't. Okay, go ahead.
Now, you know how far Philly is from North Jersey. About maybe
an
hour
and a half.
That's why I
said, what? He was in Philly.
Exactly.
What?
Exactly. You know, about an hour and a half. From Philadelphia to where I'm at is about an hour and a half, 2 hour drive if you're doing the speed limit. So
yeah.
5 minutes to five, I'm like, okay, where you at? He said, I'm on Route 1. I'm like, okay, Route 1 and what? And he gives me a street. I'm like, that ain't no street by me on Route 1. Now, Route 1, anybody who knows Jersey, Route 1 stretch. Route 1 can
all
stretch
the way,
all the way through Jersey.
From the
Route
to the Tudor.
Basically. It stretches from New York to Philadelphia. It stretches.
Yeah.
Come to find out, this dude tell me, oh, I'm on Route 1 in Philadelphia. I said, dude, ain't you supposed to be here in 5 minutes? What do you mean you on Route 1 in Philadelphia?
Wow.
No, you supposed to be in the state of New Jersey. Don't you know your
geography?
He tells me after he showed up 2.5 hours late, at the end of the night. Now, I didn't have a couple drinks in me by then. I can't even be cordial no more. He's like, I'm like, dude, honestly, real talk, how much you expect to get paid? Are you asking me that? I said, dude, aren't you 2.5 hours late? You think you're going to get a full payment? And I said, why are you late anyway? Yo, I thought that where you live at is right around the corner from, like, Trenton. You got a GPS on your phone? Exactly. He thought that Elizabeth was right next door to Trenton.
But I'm sorry, he's from Philly. And you should know, just like I know, you got to expect that from, because it's just a different type of individual in Philly. Jersey, we could go to New York and cats be like, well, you from where? And we'd be like, Jersey. And they'd be like, oh, all right, we good. But Philly, like, yeah, a lot of people do. You didn't pay him full price, right?
Hell no, I didn't pay him full price.
Oh, okay, that's all, because you came 2.5 hours late.
Okay, I am a Jersey girl with Jersey mathematics. I told his ass, look, here's what you're going to get. You're going to get what I give you, and you're going to be happy.
Let me ask you something, Drinker. Yeah. What is it? Why do they always fuck with you?
Well, see, here's the thing. Here's what I can tell you.
Why are they fucking with you all the time?
Think about it. He obviously, when I told him where I was located. Now, I go to Philly back and forth, so I know how long it takes to get from where I am to Philadelphia. I know how long it takes me to get from where I'm at to where Marie is. That's because when you travel enough, or even if you don't travel enough, you know what cities are not by you.
So let me ask you, there was no DJ in Jersey that you could have got? You had to go all the way to Philly?
The DJs in Jersey wanted to pretty much charge me the price of my son's first kitten and my first grandbaby. For a four-hour party, I mean, around here, the normal for a four-hour party maybe is about between $250, $300.
So this was a party, not a book signing, or you had a book signing and a party, or what?
It was book signing with two of my friends who are comedians, just came out to do a little something, just for support. But with a party of that size, and Marie can agree, out here, we're not paying no more than $250 for a DJ. If you charge over $250, you and lost your rabbit ass mind.
Yeah, wow, it's not like
crazy.
That's
crazy.
And unfortunately, in certain parts of Jersey you go, they try to charge you New York prices. Because since I'm so close to New York, some DJs where I'm at will try to charge me New York prices, like $500, $600, $700, and $800 for a 4-hour party.
Yeah.
But we got some DJs here in Trenton that's worth that. Like, some of these DJs here in Trenton, just to know that they're the DJ, they bringing in a full house. But that's a different story.
Well, I'm going to hook up with you next time to get me a DJ.
Yeah, we got a handful of good DJs in Trenton. We have a handful of good DJs in Trenton.
It just seems like they see you coming. And it's like they just want to fuck with you. I don't know why. It just be like that. I don't get it.
Well, you know how it goes. What ends up happening at the end of the day is that, you know, it is a learning experience. And the fact is that it was a party. I didn't pay anything for the party. The location was crazy. So it's not like I lost money on the party because everybody paid for their booking. So I still got paid whether they were DJ or not.
Right.
But, you know, I told him, because I asked him, like, as a professional, how do you want me to recommend my good services to my people in India? But then you come all in.
Well, we got to get people to stop fucking with you.
Well, I'm all right.
Because you be trying your best, and it seems like they be, like, passing the word on you.
He's just
got
to learn how to
do
it. Yeah. He got to learn how to do it.
He said GPS.
Oh, dang.
Yeah,
2 plus 2 is 4.
Somebody
got the computer in their phone.
I find my way around by using my phone.
Do you guys hear echo?
Yeah, somebody got the computer in their phone.
Yeah, that was me, man. I was fucking around with my shit. Sorry about it. Y'all, is it gone?
Yes.
It is not.
All right.
Okay. Hold on just a second. you got. I just don't understand why these people mess with you. But you said the dude didn't have a GPS. Okay.
No, he had a GPS. He said.
I said he needs to learn how to use it.
Now see, here's the funny thing about it. When I asked him, well, when I told you what my address, because keep in mind, I booked him a month in advance. I said, when I told you what my address was, did you put the address in the GPS? He said, yes. I said, what did the GPS tell you? The GPS told me an hour and 45 minutes. I said, well, if the GPS told you an hour and 45 minutes, why would you think I'm in Trenton? Trenton is literally around 20 minutes away from Philly.
So let me ask you this, just to change the subject a little bit, because his ass is fucked up. We know that, okay? Don't use it, whoever he is. So how you said the book is doing good, so you say the sales are doing pretty good. Tell us about the book.
Okay, well, Trust No One is about a young lady who loses her husband in a car accident. In the mix of her grieving, she falls in love for her brother-in-law and her best friend, who is a female. All while figuring out that her father-in-law, her brother-in-law, and her best friend all had a hand in a lot of her husband's adulterous ways. And my spoiler that I let out on Facebook months ago is that at the repast of her husband's funeral, she gets confronted by his mistress and his mister.
Interesting. Well, we got Cotton on the line right now, so how you doing, Miss Cotton?
Hey, I am good. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm doing just fine. I am just waiting on you to tell us what's going on with you.
Oh, well, I am fabulous. First of all, I just got back from Chicago.
Right.
I have a show in Detroit.
We got Marie Antoinette on the line. I forgot to tell you that. I'm sorry before I started getting into you.
Hello.
And we also have Dreka Armstrong.
Hi, how are you?
And, of course,
hello,
Mr. D.V. Henn is on the line, who just got back in town.
Hey, D.V.
And I am here, as you know.
Wait a minute. D.V. can never get by me. I have to say something. I don't say something all the time. But you know
well,
that, hey, sweetie, because I don't hear it every day. I'm going to have to call you to get that on a regular basis, because I like
hey,
that,
sweetie.
Hey, sweetie.
Hey, sweetie. Hey, sweetie. Damn, okay, well, let me see if we got a question out here. We got an 816 number out here. I want to see. Now, don't hang up, 816. If you don't have nothing to say, just don't hang up. So if you have a question or anything, state your name, and we know where you're calling from. How you doing? Are you just listening? Okay, they're just listening. All right, so here we go. So, Cotton, how was Chicago? We're going to get back to Dreka has some more issues again. We're gonna have her talk a little more. We're gonna talk about your book again a little bit,
okay.
And then we're gonna let Cotton give us an update. So you say your book is doing good. So when you say doing good, is kind of give us a what you think. How long has it been out now?
It's been out since the 1st of April.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we are now on the 29th of April, and when you say doing good,
I sold over 500,000.
Okay, that's good. That is good. You already sold 500 copies. That is good. Now, is that on sale, Amazon sales, or is that book signing and around the city? What?
Well,
in Philly, Trenton, and shit, where the dude was.
Well,
supposed to come too. What's going on?
That's with a combination of me making everybody in my family buy a book, which is about 60 of us. So I made them all buy books. They ain't got
it. Okay, so that's 440 books left.
You know, and I've sold a lot on my website. I've sold a lot with the Amazon, the Nook, and the Kindle, as well as I've done a couple of book signings, and I also did a college fair at my. At my old college. So I went there and sold about a good 2 cases of books.
Okay, I'm listening to you. You sold them books and you was throwing down. So what do you think? You think it might make Amazon? Or not Amazon, but Essence? Because,
you know
for that to happen, you got to make sure it's a store that has an Essence hub to it.
Well, so you know what it is? I would like to see that happen, and I'm going to talk that into existence, but if it doesn't, I won't cry about it. Because I have seen, and I'm going to be blunt because you know how I do, I have seen some literal garbage up there. That makes
well, you know, but you know how they do that, right?
Can I intervene? Can I please
go ahead,
say?
Go ahead.
Can I intervene?
Go ahead.
This is why I love to stay behind the scenes, because I can't deal with that BS right there. Just as she's been taken advantage of plenty of times back in 2006, 7, and 8 before I decided to become my own boss, I was taken advantage of too. And just putting it on the line. I don't care. If I haven't heard of your book, if the next person in the next state hasn't heard of your book, then how can it be a bestseller? I know my work. I'm not giving any store crates and copies of my book so they can sell it at whatever price they want to, just so when these sources and these reporters come in and ask which book sold the best, of course you could say Such and Such by Marie Antoinette, because you sold it for a dollar when somebody else came in to buy something else. You gave it away as a bonus for an extra dollar, and they didn't turn it down. So on
go ahead, continue, because I want you to stay on that level.
On that level, that's how the reporting gets, that's how a certain title makes that quota as being a bestseller.
Well, you know, another way is how it mostly is done, Maria, just so you know, because I know you know this already, but I'm going to go ahead and put the shit out there. We've done it on here before. A lot of times people find a hub, like, say, in Atlanta, that's a store that feeds right into the Essence book, you know, a best-selling log, and they might go in there and buy 1,000 books for that month. And all it takes is one month, that quarter, and you buy your own shit and give them away, and you get a tax write-off, and you got yourself an Essence. Yeah, you in there. So, I mean, even with the New York Times bestsellers are the same way. All of that, right. You know, even New York Times bestsellers are like that. How do you think these books come out already on the damn New York Times bestselling list
and
they just came out? Right.
And
it's because motherfuckers have bought their shit as a tax write-off, and they do it. That's why, you know, they do that. So,
but, you know,
so I was just wondering.
The companies
pump up their own books. It's no different than the record industry.
Right.
They
buy their own stuff. They buy X amount of their own stuff, at least to get it noticed. And then they go around paying money to the right people who will put it out there for you. Oh, this is the best book ever. You know, they pay for those quality reviews.
Right, you pay $300 or $500 you pay $300 or $500 for a review.
Right, there's a book that's out there now. I'm not going to say the name of the author, but the book, they came to me, and they wanted me to publish them, first of all, when they first started out. And I wouldn't, because it was garbage. I tried to tell them how to fix it and help it out. So they thought that I was being an asshole, and they decided to all start their own company. So they got their own company now. They got books. They got this book fixed to a certain point that they wanted. They paid people to do reviews. They went out and did all this shit. I mean, if you got time, you ain't got no other job, you ain't got nothing else to do but just be on getting people to do your damn reviews and put shit out for you, make your shit sound good, then of course you're going to be successful. I mean, even though it might be garbage. I mean, 50 Shades of Grey is garbage, but it's got – I ain't mad at it because – it's got the fucking reviews and shit, even though half the reviews, it's maybe 5,000 reviews, but probably 4,000 of them are 3-star. But still, the shit's getting ready to be a movie. So, I mean, it just depends on how you get your shit out there and you know, what you do with it. You know what I'm saying? So if you got motherfuckers working with it, that's what's going to happen. You know?
Man, let's be honest. So, it's all about marketing. I don't care what product you're selling.
That's it.
Be selling the nastiest pop. You could be the cheapest T-shirt. You know what I'm saying? It's all about marketing.
Right.
People are it's the best T-shirt. It's a Jordan T-shirt. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
All you got to do is put the Jumpman logo. You pay 50 cents to get it made. You sell it for $50. It's all in the market.
There you go.
There it is.
There are a lot of things. See, and with the selling, it also goes to if you're making yourself known. Now, there are, I'll be honest, and I'll speak to me, I can't speak to no other female or male writing in this industry. I choose to stay away from certain events because even though I'm still considered, I want to say, a baby in this game compared to some people who have been here for many, many years, regardless if I'm a baby, an infant, a toddler, or a child, no one will stand in my face and disrespect me or my craft or think that I'm going to hop on their bandwagon to get sales. It's not going to happen. I have too much integrity to kick somebody's ass to get sales. And I mean not kiss their ass, meaning, oh, well, you know, I loved all your novels. Put me on. I'm meaning to a point where you're being somebody's lackey. You're sitting there going to events just because
they not ask you to go, but tell you to go. So there's a possibility they may put your book up with somebody.
Well, you know,
I don't do that.
We talk about this all the time, and I didn't know we were going to get there tonight, but, you know, there's cliques in the game, just like there's cliques in all the other games. You know, it's like
exactly.
The music industry and all of that. So you got people that hang around each other. If you go to all the damn conferences, you hang around certain folks, they're going to recognize those friends of theirs, and they're going to make sure their friends get their awards and all this shit.
Oh, yeah.
If you're not one of those people that can make it to all of that, then you're not going to get recognized. It's just plain
and
simple.
That's just like the book reviewers. You have certain
right.
book reviewers that aren't really book reviewers. They like a certain author, so or they like a certain
right.
genre, and they will only entertain a certain book from a certain area or anything. You're right. Everything is clicked up. So it's like
mm-hmm.
you got to be about your hustle.
You
got to
right.
be about
different.
Your hustle.
Right, it's no different than these internet awards. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
You know, it's like really, you know, like half of these cats, you know, I ain't heard of, which is fine. That's understandable. There's a lot that I don't know, but
right.
rather than judge somebody on the content of what they're doing, you make it a popularity contest. You
right.
know, that doesn't mean you're a better writer. That just means you got more friends.
Not even. That just means somebody taught you how to go in and clear your browser history. So each time you vote for yourself, you can clear your browser history and go back and vote again, and it will register again. Hell yeah.
There you go.
I mean,
all you have to do is clear the browser history. You, your child, and everyone else that has access to the internet, whether it's on their tablet, their smartphone, the laptop, whatever, as long as after you place that vote, you go up into your settings and you clear your browser history, it resets everything, and then you can go back to that site, and that site will not recognize that you have just placed the vote and you can place it again.
That is correct.
And see, and this is so funny that we're talking about this, because book clubs are now starting to make the authors send them their copies, send all their members a copy of their book. I just
yeah.
got an email from somebody who is a book club who told me, well, we would like to use your book for our May selection. I'm like, okay, well, you can either buy your book on my website or Amazon
right.
or Nook, you know, however
right.
you want to do it. And the person
right.
emailed me back and said, well, no, we have 12 members. You need to send
yep.
12 books.
Yep.
To make sure all
yep.
of our members have books.
Yeah.
And I'm
yep.
thinking,
for real?
So why the hell am I doing that?
I got that same email.
I got that.
Yep.
We're going to have to talk after this because we probably got it from the same book club who doesn't want to.
Now, put them out. We need to hear who they are so that people can know what's going on.
Yeah,
so
we need to know.
Let me go to my email. It's the Divine Nine Book Club.
I don't know if it was Divine Nine, but it was a book club in the South. I think it was Precious something. It was Precious somebody.
There's a lot of them that's doing that now because, you know, they know that you want the review, so they're trying to use that way of not paying for the book to give you a review. If they have a bad review, if they got one, they're going to say, well, at least we didn't buy the book. You know what
right.
I'm saying? They try to get over, man. It's just like anything else. You know,
if you're going to be cheap about it, you know, you can at least, you know, buy the Amazon, you know, the Kindle version. If you're going
to
be cheap.
The reason why it ain't working is because I'm trying to concentrate. Yeah. But, you know, they do that. That's why you got to give them a Kindle. You know, some of them don't want the Kindle because they want that hard copy. And what gets me is half these motherfuckers that do reviews don't even know how to fucking write. They ain't wrote shit.
Exactly.
You know, and I don't know what gives them authority to even say. And people go by those reviews.
I mean, don't give me
that's what's fucked up about it.
Like
go ahead,
DB.
Go ahead.
Whenever a book club asks for books, I give them a discount, and I tell them that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well, that's
simply
okay.
Because,
a discount is
right.
fine, but to give
yeah,
nothing,
you know,
I just want
I'm
your
not
book.
Sit up
if
there
you want us to give
shit.
You a review, I'm gonna send you 15 books for free. And
right.
shit. No,
but
I know.
You know, as the author, I'm still eating all the shipping charges, and you know, I'm paying
right.
you know pretty much
right.
everything. So, I mean. I'm doing this as a, you know, as a benefit and as a courtesy, I'm not obligated to do these things, you know, but as a book, you know, if you're going to call yourself a book club, then you have to do exactly what most book clubs before you have done, buy the damn book. in some
right.
way, shape, or form.
It's a two-way street, and people that don't look at it as a two-way street, that's crazy, because the author does want the review from a reputable book club, a book club, or a source that's known, and then that source that's known, whether it's a book club or a store or whatever, or a reviewer, they also want to be known for reviewing different books from different people in different areas, not just one that area. A reviewer once, me and a reviewer once made an agreement that I was going to send him a copy of my book, that the Struggle, when it had just came out in 2010. And due to some printing malfunctions, about five of the books didn't come out with the front title page, the page that has, you know, the disclosure, the ISBN, this, that, and the third. I explained this to him after I realized that that was one of the copies I sent to him. And he sent me back such a nasty reply. He was like, you authors don't get it. The only benefit we get from reading your book is the review. This, that, and third. How dare you send me a dysfunctional copy? And I'm just like, really, dude? Like, that's how it came printed. Whenever you order books in bulk, you're going to get one or two that's messed up. That's why a traditional printer always throws you a discount, or they always throw you a couple extra. But he went in, and I was just like,
because, you know, mainstream books are not. You might get a book from Eric Jerome Dick or somebody. All of them ain't perfect because they're not supposed to be. I mean, it's like you said, it's bulk issue. So it's going to be some flaw somewhere in there. You know,
right.
The editor might even miss.
The
but see,
there is,
they fuck
there
people
may
up
be
with that.
A handful. Literally, maybe four or five book
right.
review,
right.
you know, clubs that actually have any credibility. So, who cares? If you want to leave a review,
that's how I looked at it.
You know, if you want to leave a review and it's bad, so be it. You know, tough titty.
It's an
I mean,
opinion.
Really.
Everybody
right.
has an opinion.
It happened. It happened.
This
it
is
happened.
The thing. That you know, until you actually have credibility with your book club, until you putting out hundreds and thousands of reviews, then so what? You know what I'm saying? Because you're no different than, you know, somebody who bought my book in Hawaii who didn't like it. Okay, you know, we can talk about why you didn't like it, but, you know, don't call me up or send me an email and jump down my throat simply because you missed a page out of your book, a page that wasn't even part of the, you know,
yes.
of the story.
That's why I was just like, you know what? It's okay because you're one person. And for you to come at me like that, like, again, like you just stated, I'm incurring the shipping costs, you know what I'm saying? I'm actually giving mm-hmm. up a book that somebody would have bought for, I would have sold
right.
it for 10, maybe $12 at a time. Nobody's flipping out that the front little title page is missing. But you went in and then you started categorizing me with, like, you these offers. This, and I'm going to call them out. It was Nevada Reviews. I think that's it, Nevada Reviews. And I was just like, really? Like, I would rather get to know you first and then get to know your character before you just start assassinating me. I mean, throw me in the pot with other people. But that's just, like, you're right. It's just an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Those
it's
sound effects. I love
like,
it.
I mean,
and then the reviewers get cocky. They think you need them. Dude, I don't need you.
Yeah.
I sell books
in
the trunk of my Rover. Like, for real, I sell books at my son's school.
Like I said, there's a lot of these book clubs that's out there. They're out there, and they try to get that power. And they want you to kiss their ass, because a lot of these authors do. And I'm not saying no names. There's some mainstream authors that do kiss their ass, and they get them, you know, because of who they are and all this stuff, they'll get more, you know, people will put. And what I used to hate is going to these book signings or having a conference, and they have the mainstream authors in one area, and then they put all the, I guess, low-cast authors in a corner where nobody
yeah.
can see them.
Oh, yeah, they
you know,
that.
And,
yeah.
and they have it where, you know, all the mainstream people get all of the publicity and you get nothing if they have, if
that's
they
what
even
I
see.
Mean.
Yeah.
You pay $300
you know.
For a table. I'm
right.
sorry, you pay $300 for a table. You go up there, and not only do you have all the main street authors, you have all of the bookstores that decided they wanted to be part of the street events where you know they all paid for a discount. You have all of the other vendors up there, the people selling jewelry and food and this, that, and the third. How are you supposed to compete? And your book is selling for $10 to $15, and these other mainstream people are selling $3 for $10. But they're
right.
like copies that are, they're titles that are like so old they can stand to take that loss. They already have it. And then
right.
you're supposed to make a return on your investment that way?
Right.
That's crazy.
But see, this is the thing, and it hurts me. Like, the whole situation is bad, along with reviewers and even the events that we go to, because they set you up to fail. Like, they got you buying plane tickets, hotel rooms. By the time you get, you know, actually to the event, you off in a cut in the middle of nowhere. They're
exactly.
not directing traffic. They
and
also
you might
haven't
not
done
need the
any,
money. Right.
But wait,
and so
they also... They also haven't invested in any infrastructure, thereby saying that they didn't advertise. They got you sending emails to your friends for their event. You know what
right.
I'm saying? It's like, really?
Right.
You know, how is this, you know, I'm paying $200, $300 for? I go to white events, you know, in Las Vegas. You pay, you know, $100. Your room is taken care of. You going through, you know, how to write a better book, this, that, and the other. There are seminars and things on how to be a better writer, and even after all that, they got people waiting in line, you know, to interview you and talk to you and learn about your book. You go to a black event, it's pretty much like, well, good luck. Here's the table we folded out for you, and you have to provide your own table cover.
Right.
Yeah. Like, you know,
we got an event. We got an event coming here next month. Okay. And I'm really thinking that y'all should consider that, because it's going to be the first week in May, and it's a white event, but it's a multicultural event. It's not just black. And they are going to have lots of people in Kansas City that's going to be here, that's going to be doing some shit. And, I mean, they got seminars, everything is free. You just got to just come. Now, I'm not saying the table's free, but I'm just saying you just got to show up. But the thing is they're going to have stuff going on that not only for you to sell your books, but you'll be able to, you know, get some information that you need to help you market yourself better and all that, and meet some other people that might be able to help you in that aspect. They're going to have people that's going to be doing screenwriting and stuff like that. You might even get your book into a movie. You know, it just depends, you know, if that's your goal.
And see, here's my problem that's starting to melt. Now, here's the one thing I can say great about being on this show. For as long and for how many times I've been on this show, you have never asked me to pay you a price to be on your show. Now, that's another thing I'm starting to get a little sick of. People, granted, Blog Talk Radio shows are popping up like corns now. They popping
yeah, they
up
are.
Like corns
yeah.
on female feet.
Yeah,
know?
They are.
Like,
and there are people that are charging you to come on their show because they need to pay for the damn... More than an hour, anything over 30 minutes is a price, okay?
Right.
So anything for an hour and more, you have to pay, I think it's like $39 a month or something like that, somewhere around there, $40 a month. And they getting crazy. They getting kind of funny. Like some shows, and I don't even do this. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I may do a commercial or something for somebody or advertise something for them. But a lot of times people do that. They try to charge you. It's like a regular radio station. And blog, you know, you on Blog Talk Radio. I'm not saying it's not real radio because it is. But the thing is people are now trying to charge you, like you said, to be on the show. I know somebody, I'm not going to mention their name. When they had a radio show, they wanted to charge me to come on their show. I'm like, you asked me to come on your show, and I got to pay to be on the motherfucker? Mm-hmm. Hell no. I ain't coming on your damn show. So, you know, I don't charge people that.
Yeah.
You come on, get your exposure, you do your thing, and keep going. I'm not saying who it is because you know them. I'm not saying who they are.
Now, see, I could understand if you were to say, well, Ray, well, look, you know, Drisha, you're coming on the show to talk about your new book. Why don't you send me a copy of the book? The same thing that Marie is doing. She's sending you a copy. That's like no sweat off our back, because that is advertising. But at
right.
the same token, you know, you're not asking us to pay $60 to come on your show, then send you a book. There is a show I'm going on next month that the radio show hosts has also stated that people were always asking her to buy their book before they came on her show. And she said, if you figure, I have a weekly show. I have two authors on my show a night. I'm spending almost up to, you know, I'm spending $6, $7 a week on people's books. Granted, that may not be a lot to me, but to someone who's doing it every week, you know, that's like almost $30 a month that you're spending to get somebody's book. I understand
right.
people want to send a book. I understand that. But to charge me to come on your show when you are not even somebody I've heard of, like for one
year, I used to have, I guess a couple of years ago, they kind of just stopped doing it this year. But Simon & Schuster, who is a big company, you know, with Zane and all that, they used to always send me books, you know, books that proof books or whatever before they came out, and actually sent me the real books because of the show. And that was because I had a soror, well, that was, you know, I'm an alpha, and she was an AKA, and she used to would send me stuff because there were people that wanted to come on the show, and she would let me look at their books, and if I wanted them, I would just let her know, and then they would come on the show. But the thing was, you know, that's the way it's really supposed to be done. The companies should be sending you something that lets you know, okay, this author here, you know, is coming. Would you like to have him on the show? Blah, 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 this. It shouldn't be you have to pay to go on the damn show and pay for them to do a review for you and all this stuff. I don't get into that. Is Cotton still on the line?
I think a lot of authors do. I think a lot of people industry, period. I think a lot of people in the book industry, period, are just, for one, they're not knowledgeable of the business. They're not knowledgeable of the cost that can incur with, you know, being a author of sorts or a publisher of sorts. They kind of like put the cart before the horse and just say that this is what they're going to do. So when they start to realize that, okay, you dealt with a traditional publisher versus a POD, and now you didn't spend $400 or $500 on all these books, but you're not really moving them because, like my man just said on the phone, you don't have effective marketing, you start becoming desperate and you think of all sorts of get-rich-quick schemes on how to recoup your losses because you don't know how to move your book or either you don't have the patience to move your book. You may also, which is common with a lot of us, because I work a regular 9-to-5, I couldn't just write books for a living. That don't give me a pension. That don't give my kids medical benefits. I got to go to work where I also write my books. But I'm saying a lot of people don't realize that you have to have effective marketing. And what kills me a lot, what I see a lot today is Facebook may be a worldwide social network, but you're still only networking within a small group of people if you're staying within your circle of friends.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You
That's
have
true, yeah.
And
then
I hear
some
people say, oh, I just don't accept anybody on my page. I accept every damn body. And when I accept people, I give them the link to my website. Now, if that ain't what you're about, then you don't need to be on my page because you're going to hear about my book, and I'm going to ask you to share it with your friends. But people are like, oh, no, I don't know that person. Well, how do you expect to get exposure? I mean, if all you can do is Facebook and you can't afford, like, I create media kits. I create trifolds. I sit at my computer day and night almost, and I create tons and tons of marketing material for myself and for my company and for my authors. I leave it at doctors' offices, hospitals. Sometimes me and my kids go about and we post stuff up at the grocery store, stuff like that. I mean, you still got to get – I go inside the newspaper sometimes at the newsstand and to put my flyers inside of them. Make it look like the newspaper was promoting me instead of just, you know, me putting it. You have to be creative, and you can't just always think people are going to give you something for nothing. It's like the kids that stand in the middle of the street wanting you to just throw money in the bucket. You ain't giving me no piece of pizza, no pie, no card, no nothing.
Right, exactly,
And that's true. You know, the thing that irks me, I think a lot of these book clubs popped up, you know, all of a sudden with the last couple of years, because they realize that authors are undervaluing their books. So they figure, they're going to sell their books for 99 cents. You know,
right.
We might
all
as well.
All that work you put into it. Yeah.
Right. We might as well go ahead and cash in and get them to send us a few books.
Right.
You know, and not only that, there's this big discrepancy with book quality. There's a lot of people, you know, who don't even, they got a story to tell, they just don't know how to tell it. And then they're putting it in a book form. So with some knowledge, with somebody helping them out, they would have been able to put a much better product. They're not. And so now people are like, well, I don't want to pay for that, so just send me a free book, and I'll tell you if it's a good book. You know, so it's like we're stabbing ourselves and shooting ourselves in the foot at the same time.
I just revised someone's book. Someone had a very popular book out. I won't say the names because of the respect I have for that person and the fact that they're not an author of sorts. They're more of a public figure. But anyhow, they had someone put their book together for them, and just like first glance it looked okay, but then when you open it up, you look, you see it's only odd page numbers, there's no even page numbers, you see there's no header, there's no footer, you see the book isn't justified, it isn't typeset, and then I noticed this when it first came out, and then as it just played out, that person came to me and was like, can you help me get this to the next level? And the changes that I did, the enhancements that I did, really caught their attention to where that's how I got to be able to sign another contract with someone for a ghostwriting project. My point, the quality of your work will speak for itself. And if a lot of people don't want to learn, I've had people come to me just for my services alone, not even to publish their work. They wanted to publish it, but they needed my services to give the book the professional look that it required. I mean, if you open up a book and it's not even justified and it doesn't even have the page numbers at the bottom, you're looking like, what the hell? That kind of turns you off from the story. Right, it kind of turns you, he said a pamphlet, I'm going to fight that. Okay, but yeah, you know, and a lot of authors are just, a lot of authors, in my opinion, and I don't mean this to diss anyone who's serious about their craft, because I'm dead serious about my craft. I hate it when people inbox me with stupid shit, asking me dumbass questions, and you didn't even take the time to do your homework. So I don't mean this to the authors that are serious, but I mean this about the author that, you know, writing books is not a frivolous, temporary hustle. You can't expect to just jump into something, write a book about your 3 month bid, and you don't have any etiquette about anything. Words that are spelt with W-A-S, all the S's are Z's. Every word in the book is Ebonics.
Yeah.
It's just like, really? I mean, like, I could understand we keep it hood. You know what I'm saying? You might spell motherfucker instead of motherfucker. Okay, I understand that. That's cool. But you're not even spelling words. Just everything is
right.
Wrong. And then when someone goes to give you good, honest feedback, you get mad and you blow up. I'm trying to help you, dude.
Right, and we tell people this: if it's inside the parentheses, do whatever. You know, however they talk is however they talk. Outside the parentheses, you got to follow a structure. You know what
I'm
saying? So, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with you telling your story. But just understand, if you want everybody else to hear what you're saying, you got to do it right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but it's something wrong with telling your story if it has no point, no purpose, no path. It's just,
not everybody
random
should be
sentences
writing,
thrown in. Yeah, it's just random sentences thrown together, and it's just like, come on.
I mean, you can tell your story in verbal form or in movie form, you know,
right.
But don't tell in a book form.
Should be in movie form or verbal form, yeah, and then, you know. But then again, just back to what we were saying, and those are the books that get the notoriety because you got about 4 or 5 stacks that are set aside.
Right.
You don't do nothing all day. You got about 4 or 5 stacks set aside. You could pay for that good. You could pay for that photo shoot. You could pay for that marketing. And that piece of shit will blow up. Well,
you're right. I'm
going to
tell you, it's fucking crazy. But go ahead. What was he going to say?
I don't want to cut this. I don't want to cut my connection to the group conversation short, but I do have mommy duty. My baby right here. He's patting me, and he's being awfully considerate.
We're glad that you. We thank you for taking time out to come on, and you did stay on an hour, and I appreciate you doing that.
And we could do it again, but I'm going to send you another copy out tomorrow. Definitely.
Yeah, I don't know what P.O. box you sent it to.
I have to look back in my Facebook. See what.
Right, I'm going to put my address to you because I ain't saying it on the radio, but I will get that shit to you so you can have it. That way you can.
I'm trying to scroll back through it now to see. Because I could have swore I took it right out of the address. And if I do see it, I'm not going to say it over the air because I feel like...
Yeah, we want to keep that kind of... It might be some motherfuckers trying to kill me or some shit. Or
I'm just going to say this.
Or they might want to fuck me or something. I don't know. I got to...
Stupid. You know what?
Dead.
It went to Apartment K. It went to apartment K.
Yeah, it's apartment K, so it might be out. I didn't check my mail today. It might be out in the damn mailbox right now. So let me check it first before you send it, okay?
Okay.
You can say apartment K, J, A, whatever the fuck. Yeah, okay. You got it right then.
You knew which one I was talking about. Okay.
Absolutely. Right. When you said that, then you was right on point.
Okay.
Some other shit, P.O. Box 7,955, that ain't me.
Nah. That's
some other motherfucker. Yeah, but, hey, we thank you. And I want you to come back on, so just let me know when you got time. Just email me when you got time. Let me know what's up, and we'll get you right back in. You know,
okay,
we got some, shit for you, you know.
All right.
We got that. So.
I can handle it. I'm Jersey.
Okay.
I can handle it. Calm
of
down.
Of course you can.
That's tough. I can handle
right,
it.
Right, right,
right.
Like, that's what we do, you know.
Jersey. This is the
that's
whole
right.
Whitney Houston and Jack Nicholson. I'm like, for real? Come on. And John
I know, that's right.
Some of this. Hey, Jersey can handle everything that's coming his way.
Yep.
Sure.
And,
we just had hurricane. We just had our own hurricane 6 months ago. We straight. We good.
And make sure you take Drinker's advice and don't hire no motherfucking DJs from goddamn Philly.
I already sent her a Facebook
account.
Yeah.
I'm about to say,
anybody listening, y'all need to know.
I'm about to. I'm confirming
don't
it right now.
Don't be getting no damn DJs from fucking Philly. Okay. All right. I know they're going to be mad at me now, for real.
Hell yeah, you about to get a bunch of hate mail.
You speaking the truth. Ain't nothing to be mad about you speaking the truth. It's a, if there's some clown-ass dudes out there, they need to get put on blast.
Yeah, you can't speak the truth without catching hell. You can't,
well,
you can't do
happened.
It no more.
That's right. I don't know what happened to Cotton. Ooh. I don't know what happened to Cotton's ass. She just dropped off. I'm going to have to get her back. Miss Cotton. Anyway.
That's what I'm saying. Call her ass up. Like, why you leave?
Yeah.
You can't go nowhere.
Yeah, I don't know why she left. I mean, I can't. Well, I can't call her because I'm using the phone that I normally use right now. So, and I don't
want to
call her online because I can call her. I can call right now online to her, but I don't do that either. But she dropped off for some reason. I don't know.
You want me to hit her up on Facebook?
If you can hit her up, yeah, do that.
All right.
But so DV, you was out of town. Where were you? Can you say where you were?
Yeah, I was in Germany.
Oh damn, boy, you be trying. I love you. Got the job, brother.
No, like
what part of Germany was you in?
No, you know this was the kicker. I was supposed to go to Boston, like before the whole thing went down.
Oh, so
and
you were supposed to be in Boston, but then
right.
You didn't
and
go
so,
because of the goddamn bombing and shit.
Right. So, like...
that shit happened while I was in California. I was in California that week. Okay.
Right. So, they basically... they were like, look, man, you know, we got to handle this whole business situation. So, you know, I flew out to... what is it? Don't get me lying, because, like... You land in Berlin, and then they ship you all to all these German Gutentag cities, and you just like, man, I'm tired. You know,
well, you know
they're like 7 hours ahead.
Well, you could have came on the show and while you was getting your dick sucked and shit and just,
man,
let
it wasn't
let
even that, it wasn't even that serious. It was just like.
I forgot Drika. I'm sorry, Drika. I'm sorry, baby. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. You
I forgot she was on. I forgot you was on the show, baby. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Go ahead.
Well, okay, go ahead,
Vivi. Don't give him, you know, don't punish his ass. You know what I'm saying? You don't give him a pass on that.
You know how I am. Fuck it. Anyway, that was good, Vivi. I'm glad. And every time you do go out of town, you come back with some exotic story. I like that.
Man,
from where you've been,
like,
you know.
Like it,
I'm prepping for Jamaica
you.
Myself. I'm going to Jamaica. You know, in September is my birthday. I'm going to be taking off on the boat September 1st. I wish y'all was going with me.
Yeah, me too.
That's
right.
What's happening.
We're
going to Jamaica. 7-day cruise, baby.
My birthday is September, so.
Every year I try to do something for myself. And the last couple of years I've been cruising. So I'm going to try to keep that as a yearly traditional thing for me. And, DV, what I want to do for the next Olympics. It's going to be in Rio. I'm trying to get some real brothers that's serious that can actually go, that ain't got no wives. I'm trying to go to that shit.
I'm
going to
tell you like this.
Let's
man,
talk about that.
Like, I already told everybody, if I can do it, I'm taking my ass to Rio. And, you know, if I come back.
You ain't got to stay the whole time. We can just go doing, like, the track season or some shit, or gymnastics or something, you know.
I might
those are the only events I like.
I might just retire, would, like, man. I'm like, damn, all
well,
right.
Okay, well, it's in the next 4 years.
That's what I'm saying. You know what? Because, like, all you need to do is say the word. Say the word. And I'm
well, you know, my son is marrying a woman from Barbados, and he's gonna have the wedding there next year. I'm going. He's flying me in to Barbados. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, he dating him an island girl.
Yeah. Well, he met her in high school. They've been together since high school and stuff. And she was from here from Barbados.
Girl.
She is. I mean,
her
well,
family.
Yeah.
Island.
Well, but she still goes back, and you know he's gonna go there and live once they get married, and he's gonna start a little ski little business or some shit, selling some jet skis and just be a beach bum down there in fucking Barbados. And he tried to get me to come down there and live with him. I don't know if I can do all that, but I would go with him.
Now, you know
what? What do you mean you don't know if you can live? I don't know.
I'm not saying what I'm going to do yet.
Man, please, get out of here. Where
that's what I'm saying. I'm like, all right.
That's
man,
the place
please.
To go write. I can be like Eric Jerome Dickey then. I can be down there writing books and shit on the damn beach.
You know you gonna go down there and see them thick women and don't know nothing. You ain't gonna even try to come back to the U.S.
Man,
well, you know, chocolate is my best friend. You know, I'm just that's it.
Yeah.
Black
you
women.
You introduce a whole new country to Red Snapper. Like, ladies, this is why they call me the Red Snapper.
Yep. You go down there and say, look, y'all, I ain't coming back. I see y'all
ever.
On the flip side.
I'm like, look, go ahead and send my the burial plot I paid for up there. Go ahead and ship it down here.
Wow.
Well, you know,
I can live off my army retirement down there. I wouldn't have to work.
Well, see, go ahead, and then you know they like them red men down there now.
I'm like who?
You know they like them red men down there.
Oh, they do? I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Them high yellow brothers.
Okay, we'll have to think about that shit. We haven't seen it. Okay. All right, well.
Yeah, you ain't appreciated in America.
Oh, yeah, they don't like us here. It ain't the 70s no more.
Or the 80s.
Light skin is gone.
You need to bring back the S-curl. Soul glow.
Oh, no. I ain't doing that. I didn't wear that shit. I never wore that, man. I was in the Army during the whole time that shit was up. All the 80s and 90s, I was a soldier. But, Joica, how can they get your book if they want to get your book? How can people get your book if they want you to do a book signing, other than being in Jersey somewhere? Say they want to fly you down to California. How would they get you?
Well, they could come to my website, www.DRICAArmstrong.com. Leave me a message. I will definitely get back to you. For those who don't have, you know, can't get on there, you can always find me on Facebook at Facebook.com/AuthorDRICA, and you can find my books on Nook and Kindle and Smashwords.
And how many books you got out now?
So far I have out 3, and I'm working on, this is my 4th book, and I'm working on my 5th book, which is called Rejected.
All right. Well, we that's good. So, DV, what you been doing besides going out of town? I mean, I know you haven't been writing because you've been very, very busy. What's Melanie doing? I haven't heard from her lately. And
actually,
we haven't even got a chance to do our project.
The reason I was late, because I was writing.
Oh, okay, good.
And you know how that is,
cool.
Man. You look at the clock, it'd be 6 o'clock. You're like, oh, I got
right.
time. Then you look at the clock again, it's like 8:10. You're like, oh, shit.
Right, yeah, I know.
So
well, I'm trying to do. I'm doing 2 books right now at the same time. I've done that. I'm doing that again. I don't know why I could torture myself like that, but I'm writing a part 2 to my vampire series right now, as well as writing the last book of the Scandalous Motive series. Actually, it's a spinoff book. It's not really part of the series. Well, it is because it's about the Guild. If anybody has read any of my books, they know the secret society that's in this story is it's called the Guild. And that organization, people wanted to know how it started and how it became what it is. So that's what I'm doing right now. So I'm going to get that done. And I'll be done with those characters because I kind of killed a lot of them off in the last book while I'm telling my story. Anyway, a lot of them got fucked up in the last book. So, but anyway, yeah, you know, just go ahead and read the books. You know, I mean, I may not be with a mainstream, whatever, and this and that, or whatever. But I do love writing, and you know, I'm not gonna stop just despite what everybody else is, you know, saying or doing, or they not giving me reviews or whatever. But you know, it's just what it is. So, and you know, sometimes you feel like you want to give up because people aren't recognizing you, and all these other people get recognition, and you don't know how the fuck they get it, and. It's not that they're not good or you ain't good. It's just that are they in the right place at the right time or whatever. You know, it's just, I don't know. So I'm just trying to, you know, I'm not letting that stop me. You can't let that stop you. You have to keep going for it. And anybody who's listening that is aspiring to write, you know, just because there's a lot of people out there writing right now and it's easy to get into a published book now, doesn't mean that you put out garbage. Like Dee Dee says all the time, and I respect him for this, you know, you got to respect what you put out there. You can't put out garbage just because it's easy to publish. You know, you want to make sure that you take time out to get it edited and all that. And, you know, try to get it done a couple of times. Take your time and put out a good product because nobody knows you. And when they do read your book, that's how they're going to know who you are. So you just got to, you know, that's one way of making yourself, you know, presenting yourself in a manner. You know, you want to make sure you got a story that's worth writing.
Look, man,
you don't want to throw some shit out there just to be throwing something out there. You got a lot of people, like I said, they always come to you and say they want to write about their life, you know, and I always ask them, well, what's so important that you're doing in your life that I want to read about it? Not that it's not important, but you got to convince me that your life is that such is going on, and it can't be just because somebody got killed or you got raped so many times. And all that. I mean, it's got to be more to it than that. Those are bad things. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody's writing about that. So what you got different is going on in your life? What did you do? You know, that's what I want to know. Why should I read about you? You know?
The problem I have with the whole thing is the standard has been lowered.
Right. And you know, another thing too, DV, not trying to cut you off because I want you to continue that. Another thing, like you said earlier, you know, everybody always want to say, and I'm not saying that because of you, Drake, or anything else, but everybody always want to say that their books are doing good. If your shit ain't doing good, it ain't doing good. It doesn't mean that you ain't a good author or that you're fucked up. It just means that it ain't your time right now or whatever. You know, somebody else might be motherfucking doing good, whatever. Like you said, the friendship thing or whatever. I don't know. But, you know, it's just what it is.
And you're absolutely correct. It seems like with the authors I'm starting to see now, it's like they need the validation from Essence or New York Times or Amazon to validate them as an author. Like they need.
Well, people use those as gauges of success. That's what people do. For years, it's been that. If you are a New York Times bestseller, that means you are successful. Or if you the Essence thing or whatever, you know, that's what I'm saying. A lot of people are taking these things and making that the gauge of success.
Right.
But is it really, though? Is it really? What do you say, DV?
It's like, you know, getting back to the point I was saying earlier.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you. I did cut you. I did. I'm sorry.
No, the thing is we have essentially lowered the bar on what it is to put out something worthy of recognition. You know, and the excuse that we kind of use is, well, they're selling. You know what I'm saying? Well, like we put out, like the music that we all grew up with. We listen to the music now, and it's shit compared to what we had, you know, in the 80s and 90s.
And they said ours was shit.
Right. but the thing is, even when you think about it, even our parents sung a lot of the R&B songs that we grew up with. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you know,
but this is like, and they're taking all these songs like you. Go ahead, I want you to finish.
No, yeah, I mean, you can't really listen to R&B songs, you know, R&B songs now and feel like they're in love. It's always about sex, you know, and it's always about what they're constantly putting. It's like the getting back to it. It's the standard has been lowered, and we keep trying to set a lower standard in everything that we do. And then we use money as the excuse as to why we keep doing it. You know, my music is bad. Well, look at my record sales.
You're right. What you're saying is correct. And I mean, even with the music now, I'll use an example like the song that Kiki Wyatt have out now. It's a nice song, but the music is not original. That's a Marvin Gaye music.
No, right.
If I Should Die, you know, that's the music that comes from that song, but it's a great song. They got it. But, I mean, that's just going to tell you that there's nothing new under the sun. They have to remix it, whatever you want to call it.
Every time I look on Facebook, I see a cover worse than what I saw, you know, last month. You know what I'm saying?
they put some shit out there now, though, for real. Everybody, I'm so tired of seeing that.
It's not only so covered bad, but when you try to read the book, it's absolute garbage, and it hurts your feelings because these are your people. These are the people that represent you.
When are we gonna get off the skyline, man, in the fucking car and shit, or the chest in the skyline, and the you know all this, or the legs? When are we gonna get away from all?
You think that's bad, man? I saw a cover with everybody tatted up, right? All I saw was grease. And tatted arms and more tattoos, and then the boot, it was supposed to be erotic. Like, even a girl had tattoos. It was all over her body.
But, you know, these women are doing that now. These strippers and shit, that's what they're looking like. They're putting
I'm not saying just, like, you know, just regular tattoos. I'm saying, like, you ever seen somebody fully covered with tattoos?
Yeah, I have. That was
on the cover. Both of them fully covered in tattoo. And it's
black?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's like, and it's erotic book. And now if the book is a, you know, if it's a book on erotic, you know, fixation with tattoos, I get it.
Yeah, but see, I'm telling you, DV, these people now are so infatuated with tattoos now. These women are putting tattoos all over their bodies and saying that's pretty. Not thinking that they got to get old one day, and that shit going to be sagging and fucked up when they get old. It's going to be hanging on their bodies and shit, fucked all up. You know, they ain't thinking about that now. They just going by what looks good now, all up the side of their ass and shit, you know.
Yeah, but you think that's bad. I ain't even got a tattoo nowhere on my body, and people look at me like I'm the strange one.
Well, I got two, but that's whatever.
My point is, it's not considered odd not to have a tattoo. If I'm odd because I don't, you know, I'm not odd.
You're odd now because, like you said, it's oddity. Like if a guy don't have earrings in his ear now, it's like, what's wrong with that dude?
You ain't got no earring, dude. You got it.
You know.
Like, oh, okay. Yeah.
when 5-10 years ago, I mean, when Human League, what I did. In London, they were the ones that really kind of started the double earring shit. Human League had them. We thought they was gay and shit. This was back in the 80s, the first part of the 80s. I was like, man, I ain't put no two damn earrings in my ear. And now, lo and behold, there ain't no problem now. Got my 50-year-old and 51-year-old ass wearing two earrings. But you got some people wearing 4 or 5 of them in each ear. Now, men. I'm like, damn, man, they just took that to another level. But, yeah, I know what you're saying. Well, all them tattoos, and what does that have to do with the story is supposed to be erotic. I guess it's supposed to show urbanism or whatever. I don't know. I'm just so tired of seeing, you know, wife beaters and all this stuff on front of books. And I mean, and I'm not hitting just the urban people. I'm just hitting whoever. It's people putting out stuff now that don't have nothing to do, just like videos that they've been putting out for years that have nothing to do with the song. I don't know why they be having certain shit in videos that have nothing to do with the song. They just... like, they might be riding a bike up and down a side of a building sideways. What they got to do with the love he's talking about or whatever it is he's talking about in the movie? It has nothing to do with it, but it's catching people's eye, I guess. I don't know what it's doing. I don't know. But you like TV. I don't understand it.
But like, you hope that, you know, after all the craziness that is out there, that people start getting back to fundamentals, putting, you know, decent covers back on books. It seems like it's getting worse, man. Like, I can count the number of quality hand covers on one hand.
Right, and then if you say something to them about it, they get all mad and shit because they think you criticize them. You try to help them.
It ain't nothing but a stock photo anyway. You know what I'm saying?
That's all it is. And everybody use the same stock photos. You're right. They use the same shit.
like, I do have to say that what I am finding that authors are doing more now than lately, they are trying to pretty much not only tell the story on the cover as well as describing it in words on the back. So if your book is about a thug who his physical characteristics is tattoos and he's thug and he all, you know, rough all other bull, that's what you're going to put on your cover because you think that's going to bring the people in. And you know what? I didn't say I was going to do it. I think, honestly speaking, the best book cover I have ever seen to date was the Dutch Free book. All he did was have a black book cover with a question mark, just a small red question mark, and put Dutch 3, and that was it.
You know why that happened, though. You know, that was a whole big deal with what's her name and him and shit, and them fighting over the book and all that, and who was really Dutch and all that. So I'm not going to get into that tonight. But her crazy ass, what's her name? I can't even think of the damn author's name. Yeah, Terry Woods, yeah. There was a whole bunch of shit behind that. But anyway, that is a good concept. Like, I seen somebody else do that who I thought did a good job with theirs, and that was Monique Minza. Her last book she did, what was it called? Something. She had Greek letters. I forget the last book she did.
Nemesis.
Yeah, that was tight the way she did that.
Nemesis is an ancient Greek demigod. So, right. I mean, it fit what it fit. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, it was a black cover and only had Nemesis written on it in red. That was tight. I like that. I wanted to do something like that. But, you know, I have to come up with something different. I'm not trying to be like somebody. You can use a concept and not be copying. You know, just have to make it yours in a different light.
There's a difference between copying and being inspired by. You know, you create your own concepts, but you're inspired by something that you saw that wasn't, you know, that wasn't the norm.
Right.
So, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I applaud people like that. They come up with creative and original ideas, and they're like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. You know, I do. I mean, you don't always have to just slam some stock photo or some amalgamation with stock photos onto your book cover, you know, that have some off theme of drugs, money, sex, cars, you know, diamonds.
I guess the genre of people that you're trying to get, though, I mean, they look for that kind of thing, I guess, so they won't pick up a book unless it's something, you know, and like we always talk about on this show, I know that's not true, but I'm saying that people that are doing that think they have to do that to get people's attention in that arena. But it's not true. You're right. It isn't true. You don't have to do all that stuff. But, you know, you got people thinking, oh, well, if I don't have a fucking pile of money and some guns and shit on my book, ain't nobody going to pick it up because it's urban. I got to make sure it's like that. And you know, I don't know. If I don't have a skyline, it don't mean I ain't in the city. I mean, I guess you in the country if you don't have a skyline on the moment. I don't know.
You in a different country.
You know, that was late, I know. Go ahead.
I don't get how people put skylines on their book cover.
I ain't gonna lie. My first books, and I changed them since, have had the skylines. Because
what
I was new coming into. It was a skyline of Kansas City because it was about Kansas City. But the thing is everybody want to be New York or Atlanta or whatever, you know.
Here's my thing. You have a skyline of Kansas City. You're in Kansas City. Your book is about Kansas City. That would fit the cover. But when you live somewhere in, you know, Ohio, and you got a New York skyline, and your book ain't got nothing to do with New York City, but you can see the Chrysler Building and the Empire State Building, and parts of the Brooklyn Bridge. First of all, I'm confused. Is your book set based in New York City? And then when I read it, okay, set in Cleveland, Ohio. Wait a minute. When did Cleveland, Ohio get the Brooklyn Bridge, the Chrysler Building, or the Empire State Building?
Yesterday.
That's like in Seattle.
In their fantasy world, it has it.
And then you got people that got books based, you know, the whole character plot of the book is based in Seattle, Washington. Okay, show me the space needle. Why are you showing me a skyline of Miami? you ain't even in the same coast. Well,
you ain't even you ain't in the same time zone. Yeah.
And that's what I don't get. Like, how do you, like, do you think that, I mean, granted, a beautiful skyline is a beautiful skyline. Me, because I am close to New York, I have to say, is the best skyline by far, because that's what I grew up on. I'm not going to put my book based in New York and have a skyline that shows Los Angeles. Come on, now. What type of foolery is this? This is irregular behavior. That's what it is, irregular behavior.
Right.
But the thing is, we, as black people, we mimic what we see. You know, we don't really, a lot of us, I ain't going to say all of us, most of us don't think outside of the box that we kind of put ourselves in. So if we constantly see these books with the nice cars and the skyline, and that's what we do. As soon as we write our story, that's what we put, you know. It's no different than growing up in the hood and be like, okay, well, these are the people I want to emulate, because there's nobody who espouses intelligence. There's nobody who says, look, you know, you can be greater than your neighborhood constantly where you're at. So all you see, all you know is what you see, you know, and we have to do better.
Yeah, I'm looking at the chat room, and I just saw this. I apologize, chat room, for just seeing this. There was some interesting stuff that was just written in the chat room. Someone wrote that when they worked in a bookstore and Arthur had their books wrapped in cellophane, and in order for you to look through the book, you had to buy the book. And she said that they sold like crazy because of that. Interesting.
Right. It is a marketing plan, you know, and it makes sense because what's inside this book? What am I missing out on? And when you see other people walking around and they books, you know, crinkling and crackling, and, you know, doing that sort of thing, you're like, okay, well, I want my book to crinkle and crackle too. So,
yeah, well, she was talking, and she also said something about Valley of the Dolls. Now, that's a book that's been out for years, back in the 60s, the movie and all that, Valley of the Dolls. You know, she said that book wasn't shit, which, like we say, the 50 Shades of Grey and shit. But because of the person who marketed it, which was Jacqueline Suzanne, you know, the book was marketed in such a way that it sold. That's the same thing that's going on with this. I'm not mad at the woman. I'm not dogging her. Just because I said the book is not good does not mean that I'm jealous. Or let's put that out there. Make sure you understand. I am not jealous. I am not envious. I am proud, even though I know it wasn't a good story. A lot of people tell you that 50 Shades of Grey wasn't good. But because everybody wanted to find out the way they marketed it, they wanted to find out whether it was good or not, they went out and bought it. You still got people buying this damn book. And it's probably going to keep selling for a couple of more years. It's going to be a movie here next year, if not this year. So, you know, it depends on how well they do the book, the movie. And when the movie does, if they do the movie real good, people are going to want to buy the book. To see why, you know, what they left out or whatever. You know, it's just marketing.
Remember,
like you said, marketing, marketing, marketing. That's what it is.
Because remember, Stieg Larsson, the guy who wrote The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, his book did not sell well.
But that was a damn good movie, though.
Right.
Damn good
movie, though. The book was good. And then when I saw the movie, I didn't even think they was going to do the movie justice. And the movie was actually, you know, pretty damn
good. Better than the book.
But the thing is, he was dead before his book really took off.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Aren't they making a part two to that movie, though?
Yeah, well, there's three parts. There's The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. There's, God dog it, I used to know these. But there's three of them in the series.
But
my point being this: everyone has this illusion that somehow when they get that first book off, they're gonna be millionaires, they're gonna be famous, they're gonna be rich, you know, and the world is gonna be their oyster, and it's not. You know,
that's like Precious. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to jump in front of you DB. I know you get tired of me doing this shit, but anyway, look.
Of course
I'm just going to say, well, yeah, you do, but you know me now, so I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I apologize.
You passed.
But
you're like, I need to play this. I'm red. God damn it.
It's our show. But anyway, the thing is this. You know, that movie, Precious, it didn't think it was going to do what it was going to do. There was another one of the blog books that became a book, and, you know, it was a self-published book in the beginning, and then it got republished later. I think when it became a movie is when it got republished again. But the thing is the story the way they made it come out on the screen is what really made it sell.
Right.
Because what's her name got an Academy Award for it. The girl got nominated, didn't win, but she got nominated for her part. And, you know, it's just what it is. Now, we don't hear anything from the woman. I don't know if she's doing anything else. The lady who wrote the book, I don't know if there's anything else going on, but that was her 15 minutes of fame. If it don't come no more. You know, if she has a movie, that's a book that's a movie. She can say that. You know, there's other authors that now, everybody seemed like for some reason, now has got a movie coming out. You know, I see Rashonda has got a movie coming out. I see Victoria Christopher Murray now has got a movie. I think, you know, all these people now are getting movies. So, I mean, that's another way of success now, you know. But nobody talked about, and I can't think of her name. She's from here, too, and I can't even think of her name. That has her movie was out. It was called Sins of the Mother, even though, what's her name, wrote a book called Sins of the Mother. There was a movie called Sins of the
Lifetime,
Mother.
The Lifetime.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What's her name? I can't even think of the woman's name. She's from here. But she.
No.
I'm talking about the woman who wrote the book. I know her very well. She's an author. I can't even think of her damn name right now. Anyway, Colleen Bryce, I think that's her name. Yeah, that's it. She, it was about her mother. And it's funny because the woman I used to go with used to be friends with her mother and knows her. And that book was, you know, it was on point because this was about a woman that was from Kansas City and all that, even though Colleen doesn't live here anymore. I mean, it happened. It was about her mother and stuff that she went through. But like I said, you know, we're not saying you can't write about your own life. It just, you got to make it interesting enough that people want to know what it is that happened in your life.
And most importantly, you got to make it so that people can read it, so that they understand
right.
what you're trying to tell them.
Right, because you could be telling your story, and you're the only one who knows what's going on. Nobody else knows what the fuck's going on, because you can't describe, you can't develop your characters and shit. You know, you got to have your characters developed enough so that people can see them.
I think,
like we always say, the objective is to always have, if you're not in the movie, you want to be looking out, or on the outside looking in the window, if you're not in it yourself. You want
right.
to be able to see this thing playing in front of you.
The biggest critique that, you know, I have, and I've seen a lot of 5-star books on Amazon say this, you know, is that they had to read certain sections of the book 3 or 4 times to understand what the author was saying. Well, if you had to reread this book several times because you didn't know what the author was saying, why are you then letting them have 5 stars? It's saying that it's perfectly acceptable, and it's not. You have to be able to tell your story in the sense that people, you know, can understand it after they've read it. Okay, I see what happened. If they have to go back and say, wait, what the hell happened? You know what I'm saying? That's usually, unless it's, you know, unless you write a murder mystery or a suspense novel, that's usually not a good thing.
Right.
Absolutely. You're absolutely correct. Or, you know, I just find that, I mean, writing has become to a point where some people, and I will say some, not all, they're not putting their best foot forward. I on a firsthand basis know that not every personal story or personal situation you go through deserves to be in a book. Because if you become conflicted on trying to tell the story but not tell it all because you don't want to offend nobody, then you shouldn't write it. I had to realize that when I tried to my father passed away, as I've said several times before. My father passed away almost 2 years ago. And as a parent now, I know that there are things my son is not going to know about my life, being my intimate details. My son is not going to know that because
Ew.
That's not his damn business.
Yeah.
Who
that's
wants to know that? I don't want to know
exactly.
how good my mama was getting off. Anyway, I'm
exactly.
sorry.
That's not my son's business. Now, unfortunately for me, when my father died, all of those things were related to his death. And all of them knocked me on my nugget. I thought my father was Heathcliff Huxtable. Find out my daddy was Rick Wayne. Now, what I like to tell what happened
you say your,
my father.
You did tell me this. You say your daddy is Rick James?
No, I said I thought my father was like Heathcliff Huxtable.
I know.
But after my father died, it was like he was Rick James.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, because I remember you telling some story about this before. I thought I could have sworn you said he was Rick James or some shit. I'm sorry.
My dad was Rick James. I want some of that super freak money.
Well, shit. He didn't have no. He had some money, but he wasn't that damn rich when he died.
No, because most
well,
of it went up his nose.
Say, well, you know they say you get more rich when you die than when you were alive.
Ain't that
true? Yeah. Yeah.
Ain't that
well,
cool?
Not for black people. That's only a white people motto. Because, you know, black people leave debt. They leave debt.
Yeah, like James Brown and all them motherfuckers.
You know what I'm saying?
He had some money, but...
Hey, what do we do when people die? We all got to pull together to pay for the funeral.
Yep, that always happens. I don't understand that. Why is that always the case? Well, we need to raise some money because they didn't have no insurance. And
hell no.
We need to go on and get it.
My husband died a week ago, and we all had to... But that's different because in New Jersey, at a certain age, they cut your life insurance off. So my aunt lived to be 96. Her birthday's actually next month. She lived to be 96. And
yeah, but that's
Jersey,
different, though. I'm talking about these other folks, man. They always come up with this excuse about, they, you know, come on. I mean, 96, okay, that's a great life. I hope and pray that I can get close to that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm just saying, you know, you got people, and I'm not dogging them. I'm just saying, you know, they just don't have insurance, or they just don't feel like they need it, or I don't know what's going on.
For
you know, they want you to raise money.
People my age don't think they're going to die. For one, people my age, I have to say, a lot of single people my age do not think that they can die tomorrow. And if they die...
I don't know how old you are, but I don't know why they think that. How old are you? Okay.
And most
see, I got a son older than you. Damn. Okay, go ahead.
Like, most people my age who I do speak to who are not parents, I see it in more in people who are not parents. They don't really care too much for life insurance because they don't have nobody they have to leave behind to take care of.
Right.
I have a son, so if I go, I have to make sure my son is taken care of for however long, being that be college or however. I can't just leave and leave my son with nothing. Because Social Security probably going to start paying him out when he turns 18.
But did you know whatever debt you leave behind, he incurs?
Yes. I did
so,
with...
Hey, it used to be that, you, like say you money you owed for college or stuff like that, loans and stuff.
Yeah,
it
died
used to be
with
they
you.
Died with you. But not now. Yep. They changing that shit.
Yep. Now
your family now
kids.
Gets it. Yep. Yeah,
that's what
they
asked. That's what they asked your parents were. And your parents' social security number.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because they set you, it basically, the system has set you up. It has set you up to fail. So, I mean, we already, you know, don't get the life insurance and the coverage that we need. But then when, you know, we try to leave something behind, they make sure that you can't keep it. They're like, oh, thank you very much.
Okay. Now there's I think you answered this in the chat room, TV, about the his and her book, flip
right.
sides or whatever. I've seen that done several times. That's clever. It's been done before, of course.
It's hard to do
because yeah, it's very hard to do. Very hard to do. You can do it. It's a good idea. They're an author, right? The person that's in there that's writing this stuff, right?
Indigo? Indigo.
I thought we had. I know the name. And that's a great idea, but the thing is I mean, Zane's even done it, I think. Didn't she? Oh, she got a book like that. The flip over
no
shit.
Idea.
Bullshit. I don't know. I mean, it's an idea.
But it's kind of like a play on Cotton and GPA's poem. You know what I'm saying? Even though they wrote two different stories, even though they wrote two different stories, they still it's still combined to make one story where it sounds like one person was talking to the other.
Right.
You know?
But
books are very, very difficult when you have two perspectives telling the exact same story. And I did it like my first book, If You Don't Tell, like there are certain days where the whole book is told in a journal type of form. But on, like, Valentine's Day, everything is told from everybody's perspective as it overlaps with another person.
Right.
So, you know, that chapter was, like, just that chapter, that one day, was, like, 30, 40 pages. Because you're telling
right.
the whole story from somebody else's perspective. And
right.
And when they interact with you know, the other people in the story, the exact same things have to happen.
Right.
So that was tiring, like mentally fatiguing.
Yeah, well, I know. I mean, well, all my books are like that. All my characters connect some kind of way. Or they may not know each other, but they have some connection of someone else that's doing something with someone that they know. And it's just got, and events kind of come around each other to a point. It's not like everybody's doing the same thing and they all know each other, but it might be this woman here knows this other person, but she's screwing this other dude over here that who's the brother of that person, but they don't really know each other and blah, blah, blah. You know, that kind of thing. Just so you can keep that circle going. But, yeah, that flip side book thing is a hard thing. And Indigo, if you want to do that, that's a good thing, but I wish you well on that one. I mean, if you get away with that, and you can, it's just putting it in where you got to make it where both books flip over and shit, you know, back and forth or whatever. And not necessarily both books talking about the same thing. It's just two books in one, and you're flipping it over. That's all it is, basically. I don't know. But DV has dropped. Okay. Hopefully he'll come back.
I'm still here.
I know. It's me and you now. So I don't know what happened to Cotton. I don't know if she got something came up or she just...
I emailed her on Facebook, but I didn't get anything back.
Yeah, she probably just dropped off. She's back in the city. So I mean, she's here in Kansas City, so I will get with her later on and find out what the deal is. But I know she had just got back. I wanted to hear more about what happened, and then we got to talk about something else, and then she dropped off. I was hoping that she would come back so we could find out how that poetry thing she did in Chicago went. So, but I guess we'll have to wait till next time. But we thank you so much for coming on. We got about 14 minutes. Is there anything else you wanted to say or you know, put out about what you got going on?
Well, you know, as of right now, I have thought about turning Trust No One into a film. But what I'm actually going to do is turn Trust No One into a stage play. And I am going to take that to Philadelphia. I have a very lovely friend named Sharon Monet, who is also a playwright and an author out of Philadelphia, who has a number of plays, one being Get Out of Your Own Way, which she's opening that up this coming October with Miss Deatra Hicks. So, and she's in talks of having her play picked up by a very prominent screenwriter in the business, one whom we all know. I'm not going to air it out until she gives me permission, but that's just a little clip. But I will be working with her.
What's her name again? Screenplay.
Her name is Sharon Monet. She's out of Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And so I'm just...
Because there's a female that's coming on our show next week that's right now was up there with Tyler Perry talking to him or something. Her name is... she's coming on the show next week, actually, and I guess she'll be telling us a little more about it. Her name is...
Is her name Sharon Monet?
No, Ashley Amber, out of St. Louis. I think that's her name. I think that was Ashley. I think it was Ashley. And also we got Miss Robinson, who is a great author, coming on next week as well. So, yeah. But, yeah, she's been posting stuff on Facebook about, and she showed something that Tyler Perry had said something about her writings and how well it was and how he liked how she do this and that or whatever. You know, it's good to get that from people.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I don't want people to take this negative like I'm being hater or something, because I'm not. It's good to get that, but I just feel like, you know, some people need that to validity to you know, make themselves feel like they're doing something. You know, I'm not, you know, if Tyler Perry invited me to go see him, I would go see him, but I'm not going to be trying to, you know, oh, it's Tyler Perry or whatever, you know. I mean, I did it with, you know, Eric Jerome Dickey the other day said something about one of my books the other day, which I thought was an honor. But I'm not going to, you know, go crazy and say, oh, yeah, I'm all that because he's, you know,
exactly.
Whatever.
And that's how it is, you know, because I'll admit that that's me seeking validation from someone who has been in the business for a while and, you know, for someone who has done this for several years. When someone of that stature gives you that validation that what you are doing or what you are writing is beyond magnificent, at that point in time, they could sucker you into anything. And that's where I fell in with, you know, by me reading her book years ago and me knowing her book sold a lot of copies. When she told me, Drinka, your book had me about to crash my car. I'm trying to read and drive at the same time. Besides me jumping up and down inside, like, oh, my gosh, she likes my work. My second question.
And she probably did. She probably did, though. And that's the sad thing about it. She probably did like your work. She just had another agenda.
Exactly. But then again, it begs the question, you know, does these people who give you validation, do they have the credibility to give you validation?
Well, I mean, he does, but that doesn't mean he's going to take her book and make it into a movie or a play or something. I mean,
exactly. But
you know, it's just
validation from almost everybody, people who aren't even established in this business. Oh, you know, this writer who wrote two books, she told me my stuff was the best. And now you didn't post it all on Facebook. His writer told me my stuff was the best. And now it's like, that's great to have someone admire your work, but you can't take that as, oh, my God, I am the best, because what one person may like, another one won't.
So you have to
take the good with the bad, because you don't post on Facebook, or people don't post on Facebook, this reader says she did not like my book. She did not like it. You know, you never post the negative, but, you know, we're always quick to post the positive, and we keep that negative stuff kind of hidden away, tucked into a little drawer, knowing
right.
that eventually somebody going to know about it and going to throw a clean in your face like pie.
Yeah, that's the game, though. Yep. Well, you know, hey, I tell you what, I thank you for coming on. I really appreciate you taking time out of your schedule, and we're going to go ahead. I ain't going to hold you no longer. Everybody's moving on, but you know, you're definitely welcome. You know, you can always come back on anytime you got something going on. Come back on and tell them one more time how they can get your book and if they want to get you to come back, do a book signing or something.
Well, you can easily find me on my website at www.drika.com, and that's all one word, drikaarmstrong.com. You can always comment and leave me a message, and I can get back to you. You can also find my books on Nook and Amazon, which what I'm seeing now with the 4-star and 5-star reads already on both Amazon and Nook.
That's good. Well, congratulations on that, and I wish you much success in that. And I hope that, you know, you just got to keep looking at who you try to do business with. We all do. Because sometimes we take people for being somebody, and then they really a hustler or a thug, or they really don't have your best interest at heart. They only think about themselves or whatever. So, you know, just keep watch on that.
Of course.
You know, that's what you got to do. So, but we thank you definitely for coming on.
No problem at all. And as always, it's great to talk to you.
Huh?
I said, as always, it's great to talk to you.
Okay. All right. Keep up with me now.
Mm-hmm.